my God, how great you are. How great you are. One more time.
Oh my God.
My God, how great you are. How great you are. Una vez más. One more time. Por favor. Hallelujah. Our God, how great you are. How great you are. Hallelujah. God, we declare your greatness today. Lord, we declare your greatness today. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. We declare your greatness today, Lord. We honor you in this place. Have your way, Lord. Do all that you came to do in us, in this space, in this divinely designed, appointed moment with you. Be glorified. Thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what you sent it to do. It's like the dew and the rain that descends from heaven. It brings forth the crop and the harvest it was intended to bring. Thank you, God, that the anointing destroys any yoke, and that your people have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go right to the Word of God, please. We're going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 3. Buenos dias, good morning, bonjour, wherever you hail from. What's up, wherever you hail from. Hola, wherever you hail from. We are looking at a tremendous passage this morning, which happens to be a prayer. And let's read Ephesians 3, verses 12 through 20, and then I will give you my customary disclaimer. In verse 12, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I'm suffering, Paul says, in your behalf. Rather, glory in my suffering, for it is an honor to you. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I need to pray, Paul says. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name, and may I add, its significance. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints who are God's devoted people the experience of that love. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the height? What is the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience, again for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him. Here's the icing on the cake. Now to him, who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, infinitely beyond our highest desires, infinitely beyond our highest thoughts, infinitely beyond our highest hopes, infinitely beyond even our highest dreams. Let's spend some moments this morning talking about the God of the beyond. That God wants to reveal himself in this time, in this season, for the rest of your life. He wants you to know that he is the God of your beyond. That he's bigger than anything in your life. And he wants to take you into the beyond, that which he has for you that you haven't even dreamed about yet. I told you about my disclaimer. I didn't know, because I think we were in the Philippines ministering when Pastor David shared with the congregation, shared with the senior leadership that 2018 is going to be the year of overflow, the year of God showing himself strong, the year where God will manifest things that we've just never seen before. And I was not privy to it, and the Lord hid it from me. That was a joke. And so, the prophets all over the world have been sharing a similar message, that this is a year where God's going to show up and show out, that there's something about this year, something that's in the air, something in the atmosphere, where God desires to overwhelmingly bless his people and show up for them in their toughest, tightest places. And so God began to speak to me. He said, Chandler, this is the year where I'm going to show all of you, because you all have seen what you can do. Now I need to let you see what I can do. So God began to deal with me about the fact that he was the God of the beyond. And the very verse that Pastor David shared the last quarter of the year, the previous year, was this, that it was Ephesians 3:20. And so God, I believe, is really speaking. So God said, I better come back and remind you the last Sunday of March, Palm Sunday, that this is my heart for you. I want you to know this, to walk this, to live this. And so Paul says, in order for you all to experience this, I need to pray for you. And Paul says, this is one of the prayers that I love. I love to pray for the people that I love. I love to pray for you all. That this prayer, this also in chapter 1, in fact, Paul has written these marvelous biblical prayers. I hear a lot of people praying a lot of things, but I sometimes wonder, is that biblical? And they say, will you agree with me? I say, well, it depends on whether it's scriptural. I mean, I can't agree with just anything that you just thought up because of a bad pizza the night before. So isn't it good to know that we can pray scripture? And so we can know that we're praying in accordance with God's heart. And also in Philippians 1, that's a marvelous prayer. Colossians 1, fabulous prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Romans 15 and 13, one of my favorite prayers about God giving us hope, the God of hope, filling us with hope, and letting us have joy and peace as we believe. Not just believing, but joyfully, peacefully. So here we have a great prayer, but how many of you remember the song, Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. That came from the prayer in Ephesians 1. plagiarism, I tell you. But it is a wonderful thing. The money they made off that song. Paul's family's entitled to royalties. Notice that God instructs the apostle to pray for this young fledgling church. This actually powerful church. And he begins, he says, if you look at your notes, which are somewhere on a seat near you, if you want to track along with me, just as a guide. He says, God wants to reveal this to you in order to bring you to the revelation and the experience of him being the God of beyond. This is what I must pray for you, that he wants to reveal this to you. Number one, the greatness of the power at work within us. Paul, while praying in chapter 1, says that I'm praying that you will know the power that is inside you right now. Iota mismo. The power, that's it. If I speak in tongues, it's only because my wife claims that the heavenly language is Spanish, so I'm practicing so that I'll know how to communicate once I get to heaven. So iota mismo means right now. Now, the point is this, that Paul prays that I need you to know the power that is resident within you right now. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father. That's the kind of power that's in you right now. Five of you said amen. So let's do this. Would you turn to someone, please? And would you look them in the eye? Just do this with me, just by grace. And tell them you're stronger than you know. That if you know Christ, then the Holy Spirit, resurrection life power is inside of you. Yeah, baby. That's good preaching. Good job, Chandler. Good job. Be encouraged, son. And also, God wants to reveal to you his superabundance. That's the goal. That's his agenda. That you would personally, individually, familiarly, corporately know his, number three, that he is able to do above and beyond all that we dare ask and think. We'll come back to that dare word later. Number four, he wants to do infinitely beyond your highest, and just fill in the blank. Whatever it is, he wants to show himself strong. Notice that the triune God is united and committed to this profound personal revelation in us. I can't find in any other prayer in the scriptures where all the Godhead has sealed this together. It is tremendous. Paul says, I'm praying to the Father of all families, the Father of all fathers, and the Holy Spirit has been commissioned to bring this about in your life as Jesus dwells in your heart by faith. Wow. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, united, committed, devoted to seeing that you know God is the God of your beyond. It's like this is personal for God, for you to know, for you to receive this. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who activates and supervises this revelation in our lives. And we need to read Ephesians 6 and 17 again because it's time to unpack something marvelous. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Inner man, innermost being, personality. Inner man, innermost being, personality. Indwelling. So number one, if you want to take notes, he must go deep inside us. This is not a shallow work. It is not a superficial work. It is not a casual work. This is intentional. This is deliberate. This is strategic. Baby, this is love. And the last time I checked, love is a verb, not an emotion. I'm sorry. For you that Love is a verb. Can't hear nobody. Love is a verb. You may feel like, no. Your feelings need to catch up with the verb. And so God loves us, and here he is moving as a verb. So he wants to go deep. The Holy Spirit wants to go deep. But number two, we must give him permission. Now, because the Holy Spirit is the consummate gentleman, and he never forces, he never badgers, he never coerces, he never manhandles or she or woman handles. You know, it's a different day. And so God wants you to know that he is not that kind of guy. And can I be transparent with you? Because I've offered my will back to God. I said, you know what? Would you just make me a robot, please? No, just put a chip in me. Okay, Pastor Chip, you know, pun not intended, but just put a chip in me and just wire me. And so you know, just make me like R2-D2 or make me like Spock so that I just do, you know, what I'm wired to do and I don't have to think about it and I'm not given a chance to think about it because, Lord, I don't like everything I've done with my will. Can I give it back, please? Just make me do what you want me to do. Por favor. We'll all get along much better if you just make me do what you need me to do. Your will be done. Your kingdom will come. But throughout the scriptures, God makes it abundantly clear. I respect you. This is powerful. I respect you. I will never violate your will. I want you to love me and want me because you want to love me and want me. And anybody who wants something different is a witch. God never manipulates. Throughout the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, the choice is yours. Choose you this day who you will serve, the choice is yours. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It's a choice. And he honors us. And even when I want him to manhandle me, he says, Chandler, we'll do this if you want to. Isn't it good to know that our God is not a demon who tries to force something on someone? Aren't you glad he's love? Aren't you glad he honors you? Aren't you glad he values you? So he's a gentleman. And then I give him permission because he needs to invade. Invade what? My innermost being and personality. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to talk about you. At least I'm going to talk about me. God needs to go very deep. Deep, why? Because Jesus taught in Matthew 12 and Matthew 15 that all behavior originates in the heart. Deep, deep, deep down inside of us. That's where the triggers are. That's where the wounds are. That's where the pain is. That's where the memories are. Or that stuff that makes us all of a sudden. When we step on the wrong button in somebody's life or we touch the wrong nerve in someone's life, that nerve is in the heart. And so God says, I must go deep, 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 deep and minister there. I sent the Holy Spirit to love on you right there where you are creating behavior. And this is where the anger is, the temper, the rudeness, the meanness. Would you please just send this message to the church down the street that needs to hear this? But God desires to come with our permission and invade so he can make everything Look at number four. He only comes to make us better. Say better. Say better. Say, Lord, I want to be better. So he comes to invade. Now this personality part is tricky for us because, you know, we need to understand that a part of the composite of our personality is our culture, is our family upbringing. You know, Clevelands are a particular way. Clevelands do what Clevelands do. Clevelands are notorious because Clevelands are Clevelands. I'm not the only one. So, because they're Smiths and, you know, they're Harrises and they're Mendozas and they're Flores and they're Means and they're... We have our ways, as Pastor David just said. I'm going to borrow that line. We have our ways. And God wants to get his hands on those ways. I'm glad Pastor David's giving me resounding amens because the rest of you are like, Why are you talking about my family? What ways, right? Our family don't have any ways. And, you know, and unbeknownst to you, you have a personality. Okay? In case you weren't convinced. The rest of us know what it is if you don't. And in that personality, God simply wants to come and by the Holy Spirit, put his hands there. Because there are things that may not be helping us. Things that may not be healthy. Things that may not be healing. Things that will contradict our testimony. Things that will hinder our witness for Christ. And we wake up in the morning wanting to be the best believer possible. And then through the day, we have a personality. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us with all of that, to address that, put his hands on that, if he has permission. Six of you said, yes, he does. Okay, that's good. Well, it's better than the first service. Yeah. I'm teasing. So God wants, look at number five. This is very, very important. So we must pray, Holy Spirit, help me be your best friend. Because I used to pray this all the time. Holy Spirit, be my best friend. Be my best friend. I see your importance in my life. Be my best friend. I need you. Be my best friend. And the Holy Spirit said one day, excuse me, I'm not the problem. So I reversed the prayer, said, Lord, let me be your best friend. Would you pray that with me? Holy Spirit, help me be your best friend. Because he is intent and determined and committed to making you better. So we can look at the next part. The goal is to make Christ feel at home in our heart. I'm going to read verse 17 from the New Living Translation. It just puts it on context so well. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. See, there it is, that issue of trust, that issue of permission, that issue of you have to welcome him. Your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you and me strong. See this. This is, I thought this was powerful. So that Christ can be comfortable in our heart and make his permanent abode there. Because just because he's in our heart does not mean he likes everything in there. I really have to come to terms with this because you know, I understand and I'm so grateful, as I'm sure you are, that God accepts us just the way we are. Isn't that wonderful? Why, that's really good news. Because if you don't know Christ today, in other words, if you're here and you really, really, really are transparent and with yourself, and you're very, very, very truthful with yourself, saying, you know, I really don't know Christ. I really don't know what's love. But can I tell you something? He accepts you just the way you are. You can receive him right now. He loves you right now and is ready to begin to express this love to you right now. If you will accept him right now, game on for the rest of your life. And he will pour his love into you and you will know it for yourself. But understand this. He accepts us just the way we are. But he loves us too much to leave us like that. So he comes by the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to make us better. Say better. So just because he's in there doesn't mean he likes everything that's in there. So Paul says, I need to pray for you that the Holy Spirit will be able to remove everything that doesn't make Jesus comfortable. He's committed to be there. He's determined to be there. He's deliberate. And yet, Lord, let my heart be a place where Jesus can be comfortable. So he wants us to experience his love. And then verse 18 is just power packed, right? The last part, the breadth of it, the length of it, the height of it, the depth of it, the width of it, the breadth of it, the length of it, the height of it, the depth of it, every dimension. Write that down if you're taking notes. Every dimension he wants you and I to experience. And when that happens, look at what happens. There is a revelation of his amazing love that facilitates his fullness in our lives. That this is all a buildup for God to fill us with himself. That the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit working in concert, working in tandem to bring this about. The point is so God can fill us up with himself. And it comes through a revelation, an abiding knowing of his love. And then in section 6, write this down if you want. So this is practical. This is practical. This is practical. Not something read in a book. Not something you can just theorize about. This is practical. This is hands-on. Number 2, it is personal. This is personal. Very, very, very personal ministry on the part of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number 3, this is beyond head knowledge. Your intellect will get in the way here. Trust me, I know. For all of you that think you're smarter than the average bear. Number 4, this takes place in the heart. In the heart. Number 5, this fills us with God. See, this love fills us with God himself because, Dios es amor. Dios es amor. Dios, say it with me. Dios es amor. God is love. Heaven, I'm preparing. God is love. So when love fills us up, guess what? You just got filled with God. And watch this, the higher the level of love in your life, the more of God that's in your life. As love increases in your life, God accordingly increases in your life. And so I just want to give you an easy little moniker, maybe an easy little way to remember this, joy. Love manifests in joy. Jesus, others, and you. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and you. And so Jesus, we love God. But also we are called. And it's right here in the scriptures in Mark chapter 12. Jesus says, verses 30, 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, there is no greater, no other commandment greater than these. Love God, love others. But there's one person that often gets omitted in that love fest. You. Love others as you love yourself. In other words, if you struggle to love yourself, you're going to struggle to love others. If you have not received a deeper and deeper and deeper revelation of how much God loves you, it will be a real hardship for free love to flow out of you. We need a revelation that he loves me. No matter what, he loves me. No matter what my past is, he loves me. No matter what I've done and haven't done, he loves me and you. I thought I'd share the wealth. And you. And when that revelation is written on your heart, deep in your spirit, intuitively, spontaneously, the love of God will manifest where before there used to be pain. Because as his love increases, God increases. And as you let him love areas of your life where you are afraid, where you are mad, where you are angry, where you are hurt. Because if those areas don't experience his love, we will react every time out of pain and not love. So Paul says, I need to pray for you. I need to pray that you will permit this process. And that no matter what your level of leadership is, you still will know, I need to know he loves me. So in my interactions with people, they encounter the love of God and not my family personality. Not my cultural personality. Well, you know, that's the way, you know, that's the way we do it. You better watch out, you know. And God loved me. Yeah, he loves you so much he wants to change thee. And me. He's got his hands full with me. Sometimes I tell Lord, I'm praying for you, Lord. Somebody better pray for him. I'm like, with me, Lord have mercy. God, I'm praying for you. God, be encouraged. Be encouraged. And let the weak say, I am strong. All right, so the Lord, Jesus, others, and you, he wants you to learn to love you. That's a brand new story. He loves me. Oh, yeah. That's a brand new song. He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. And I just can't stop from singing. I won't stop the singing. And you ask me, do we need him? Does a river need the waters to get along? Does a river need the waters to get along? We need him. We need his love. And as we let him love on us, then he can grow in us. Last point is this. So that I give you all the answers, so everyone can leave feeling the love of God today. Everybody. It's important for the preacher to preach to everybody that is present. Verse 20, the word of the Lord that Pastor David gave the church. He wants to go beyond. Say beyond. He will go beyond. Say beyond. Permit him to go beyond. Say beyond. Now you're free to hope, dream, and imagine again. I know that our tendency sometimes in Silicon Valley is to come and worship and bless the Lord and dash out immediately afterwards. I know that this is Silicon Valley. I'm very aware of where I am. I was in Raleigh-Durham yesterday. Flew home last night. And it's kind of becoming a Silicon Valley. It's kind of, I guess, the Silicon Valley of the South. But the point is that maybe God wants you to just simmer a little bit in his love today for a few minutes. Let him maybe take you higher and deeper in his love. I encourage you, maybe don't rush out so fast. Maybe God wants you just to say, you know what? I give you permission to love on me. I give you permission to heal me with your love where I ache. And sometimes that takes a few moments for him to work. But he will make you better. And he will bless your life. He simply wants you to know your true potential, which is beyond what you've already imagined. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your magnificent love. And you are taking us deeper and deeper and deeper into the river, the lake, the ocean of your love. Because you know it heals everything that ails us. And simultaneously allows you to come into our lives in a stronger, greater way. And so, in fact, we can know how far beyond our limitations, restrictions, and what seems to be restricting us, how far we can go in you. We give our hearts to you, Lord. Help all of us, Lord, to come to a new place of willingness, even right now. A new place of submission, not to witchcraft, not to manipulation, to love. You will respond to us, but really we respond to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we pray the prayer together, please, at the end? Can we all pray the prayer that you have that I don't? And in front of me, can we just pray the prayer that's at the end? I just thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you. Can we pray this together, please? Lord, it's right here on your notes on the back. Can we pray together? Lord, thank you for your undying, unfailing, never-ending love for me. I so appreciate you sending the Holy Spirit to be my best friend. Help me to reciprocate and to be his best friend. Let my heart accommodate you in perfect peace. May I experience and know you as the God of the beyond. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You blessed our church. You blessed our church. And we love him like family. Let's tell him one more time. We appreciate him. Amen. I know you needed that word. I needed that word. Hey, it never hurts to hear that God loves you and he hasn't given up on you. And how many know that's true? I sat at a table with some pretty heavy hitters, authors and high-level speakers and teachers. One of them, you know, is Robert Henderson. We were all talking about all the heavy revies, all the truths that we've been preaching, and come around to Apostle John Benefiel. What have you been preaching, John? What have you been thinking about? And he said, well, I've just been thinking a lot about how deeply God loves me. And the table just went silent. And we all realized that's what we should all be speaking on. That's what people need to hear. And I'm so grateful for this message. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings as we come to the close of the service. We're going to hear a special song and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister the love of God to you as you give and as you serve. Again, thank you for your giving. It means so much to us because everything you see, everything we're doing, comes down to people who gave, people who prayed, and people who individually contributed to the mission. So thank you, each and every one of you. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, you're helping us to get the gospel out to people. If you're making a decision for Christ today, if you're rededicating your heart to the Lord, there's a card that you heard about earlier in the service. It says, I've decided. It's right in front of you. And if you're new in the church and you haven't done so, the other side of that card says, I'm new here. This would be your chance to fill that card out and drop it in the offering as it comes by. We're not asking you to give, of course, but if you would drop in that card, that'd just be such a blessing. There's lots more coming as we finish the service. Ushers, come on and serve the people. I'll be back in just a moment.
shadow, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
Aren't you glad he's coming after you?
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain, you won't climb up. Coming after me.
Come on, church. It's real.
There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down.
On, lift your hands and be like a sponge today. Just receive and absorb the love of God. Lord, we ask you by the Holy Spirit within us to shed abroad in our hearts the very love of God. Jesus, we thank you that you entered into the city of Jerusalem with one thing on your mind on Palm Sunday. And that was not to establish an earthly kingdom, but to give yourself as a ransom. And upon that foundation, the cross, you would build a heavenly kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the love of God that is overwhelming us. Fill us today, we pray, through Christ, in his name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Listen, before you go, Pastor Albert and Jenny, come on, join me here. Today, we enter officially into Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday. That means the next few days are very special. Good Friday is ahead. We're going to have a beautiful Good Friday service right here in the auditorium. And then, of course, a week from today, Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to preach on the day that changed everything. And I pray that your loved ones will be here with you when I preach the clear gospel message. And then I ask them to invite Christ into their heart. Let's believe during this Holy Week that each day will be an increasing move of God's Spirit in all of our hearts, and that the word we heard preached to us today about the love of God will overwhelm us. So by the end of this week, we're going to be shouting and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means, because that's the mission. We can't love people until we receive God's love. So let's receive during this Holy Week. Let's receive God's love and then spend the rest of our lives loving people. Amen. Just before you go, I want to congratulate and thank Pastor Albert and Jenny Castaneda. Last Thursday night, of course, you know that this next campus plant will be Phoenix, Arizona, which is February 2019. Rewind 6 months from that, which is about June. We'll be laying hands this June. We'll be laying hands on Albert and Jenny as they relocate. And they'll be moving to Phoenix, Arizona to establish Gateway Phoenix. Well, as a part of that transition, God has raised up a mighty threesome, Yedeni and Micah and John, to lead Lift Young Adults in their absence. So last Thursday, the baton was passed to that team, and I just wanted I just wanted to thank, first of all, the Castanedas for the last 2.5 years that they did young adults, and then 10 years before that that they did reality youth here. And I want to honor them and thank them. And then I want to celebrate a great moment for Lyft, which is the passing of the leadership baton to them. Albert and Jenny, we love you. Can you please give them a big hand today? Good job, you guys. Good job. So in June, we're going to have an exciting Sending Sunday. You're going to be seeing Albert and Jenny, until then. But they've been very, very busy. How are you guys doing? I mean, you're learning, you're growing, you're running hard. What's been going on with the Castanedas?
We just got back from a church planting training through ARC, which is an awesome organization. It's a lot of life-giving churches coming together to see God's great commission unfold throughout the earth. And so we were honored to be there. We were totally just blessed and supported by not only ARC, but by all of you guys, our leadership team and Gateway. And now we feel even more equipped and ready to go and spread the love of God in Phoenix, Arizona. We're excited. We're pumped up. We can't wait to be able to come back and give you guys the praise report, because we know God is going to do amazing things out there.
And what an eventful week. We finished that training, and then we come back. Thursday was our last night at Lyft, and they loved on us. They honored us, and we got to commission Micah, John, and Yedeni to go and love, lead, and build the Lyft community. It's going to be amazing. You watch and see. They're going to kill it. Yes. They're going to kill it.
What a team. What a team God has. Amen. Are you excited? Thank you, guys. Thank you, Albert and Jenny. And we just want to dismiss you with the blessing of the Lord. Now, our friends are up here, the prayer team. If you need prayer, anything at all, if you need healing prayer, something's going on in your life, you want that covered, we're here to pray for you. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday, 8:30, 10, or 11:30. Okay, special schedule. Bring somebody with you. Don't forget, you can connect in the lobby. Get your copy of the Reasons We Believe book. You can pick that up now, or find out how to be a part of a group or host a group in the lobby.